Trinity Fremont, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we reflect on this past Sunday sermon and give practical starting points to help you live it out, your faith, in your family, and in your community.
Woo!
Howdy, y'all.
Good morning.
Hello.
How's it going today?
Hey there.
Hello.
Hey there. Hey, we... So, we're getting ready to, sadly, I think, Casey, as you said, hey there, it made me think, is where I think we're headed into, we'll find out tomorrow, which is today for those of you who are listening to it, the day that it comes out, if our COVID dial has reached red, which means we move back to fully online, worship services. And I did some recording for that this morning, just in case, cause I didn't want to wait till Thursday to do all the recording and editing and all that, just cause it wouldn't work. Of course, half the time my mic was muted. So I found that out as I was getting ready to go home that on the board, my mic was muted for half of it. And so, but I'm pretty sure I threw out a hey there in one of them, but it's probably one that was muted. So I got to redo that. So speaking of which, Paul, how was the workout today while I was talking into a muted mic?
It was good. We did a lot of, he basically put a lot of weight on a bar and I picked it up and put it down.
Okay. While you were laying down?
Is innovative enough to work.
I was laying down for 8 rounds, so 3 for 8. And then I did this thing that I pulled towards for 3 for 8. And if you think 3 is not that bad, it's relative to how much weight they put on it.
Yes.
And Mike likes to put a lot of weight. He's like, you got this.
Yeah, Mike is one who he will just like, Mike is a big dude in terms of muscles. Mm-hmm. And he can pick lots of things up and he can put them down.
Yeah.
Like a couch.
Yeah.
I'm just going to palm it and go.
We had this. So in our house, we have 2 levels and we had a couch that we wanted on the second level. And, we had 2 or 3 people like, yeah, this is a complex thing. Mike comes over and I'm just guiding it while he like swings it over the ledge. It's like, okay.
And I think was it you also when you moved out?
Yeah.
It was so he just palmed a mattress and carried it down the stairs.
Yeah. And it wasn't a twin mattress. It was a queen size mattress. He just
that's one of our trainers, and yeah, he just has a very much like, oh, if I can do it,
you can do it.
You can do it.
Well, he's pushing us to be better,
and it's fantastic. But yeah, there's many times where he's like, you can do this, and we both are like, no, Mike, cannot.
But somehow we do.
Yeah,
which is actually why we're saying
stronger than you know.
He is making us stronger.
Yes, yes. It's good to have somebody push you. So, as we closed out a series in John this past week. Interestingly, guess what our text is for next week? It's John, by the way.
Come and see.
And we're back again.
So how has God been messing with you? I know you guys don't like when I make you introduce yourselves all the time, so we're gonna skip that this week.
I'm a child of God.
How's it going? I'm a child of God. How's God been messing with you this week? I'll start because I always make you guys like I ask the question and stare awkwardly at you. I think the Sunday night we had the group FaceTime with your family. I was in a really good mood that weekend, and then we talked about what we're not going to do on Thanksgiving. And that just hit me real hard because Thanksgiving for me, there's been talk like if you had to pick which one you wanted to do with extended family, would it be Thanksgiving or would it be Christmas? And for most people, the thought is Christmas. Like we were talking about that in terms of school and do we add an extra week of vacation so that people can quarantine after being in whatever. So the thought is Thanksgiving or that Christmas is the one that I think for me, the time spent with extended family, I think it, for me, it's more Thanksgiving. I think Christmas with my family, more intimate, more let's just focus on Jesus and not all the presents and stuff. That's one thing for me. Thanksgiving is the, if I could pick one holiday to spend with as many people as possible, it's Thanksgiving. And we had to make the call that we're not, we're going to have a great time with our family. family. I never watched the Thanksgiving Day parade anyway, so I'm not too concerned about that.
Has that been canceled yet?
Yeah, I think it was canceled a long time ago. Yeah, so
I think they're gonna have all this angry.
They'll let some balloons go or something and put a camera on it. I don't know.
Social distancing pull-up parade.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. They'll drive. But so that's where I'm. That's where I'm struggling, and I know that it's out of love for neighbor. It's out of love for my family. Like if we take something unknowingly to my parents, that would not end well, probably. So there's, and I like honest
as far as we know,
as far so there, that's been a struggle, especially as I'm also starting to record for online worship, which is it's not as good as being in person for me. I really feed off people.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to this either.
Yeah, and so there's just kind of a meh. That's how God's.
I feel like we've had that season, and we like that was fun. Let's move on, and now it's like no, we have to go.
No,
back.
Let's go back. Yeah,
and of course I'm kind of like you. You mentioned the fact that you're kind of out of practice. I am very out of practice with editing and video, and I'm also looking at my time going, I'm going to have less and less of that as the new year comes around. And I don't know how I'm going to do all this without not sleeping.
Yeah. So, sleep is important.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I have a feeling that something is going to suffer, and I have a feeling that Trinity is going to lose that battle. I'm sorry.
That's you need to take care of your family and you need to take care of yourself.
Well, it's not just that. I got
to
work.
It seems like this time around you're expected to do it, but also to do everything else. We're in March. You said there was no school. Everything was shut down. You had your time to devote to editing and recording and all that, but school's not shutting down and you still have to do all this extra stuff and this now. It's a different, very different feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened last night too, because even in my job, you know, and taxes, we shut down all in-person visits, so therefore there wasn't the same need in the office, but that's not going to be the case this time. So, and when I get to how God's messing with me, I will talk about that, which will also lead us right into our topic today, so somebody else should go before me.
And I'm in the same boat of since we're in orange right now, the rules for youth group are we can meet outside if the weather permits. Well, it was about 35 degrees at 7 o'clock on Sunday.
Start a fire.
I want to.
Is that not allowed?
It is
not
allowed.
It's not takes, based on your thing that you wrote for everything.
No, it's for orange. We can't really move around a lot, so bring heavy coats you know, there's always that one youth that won't. It's like, yeah, let's not put them in that position. So we did youth Zoom on Sunday, and you know, kind of braced them for the fact that this might be how we do it again for a bit. And you know, our youth are amazing here at Trinity, so this does not reflect badly on them at all. In my mind, they weren't thrilled. So it was one of those things, like I personally struggle with it a little bit, because it's, you don't feel like you're getting as much done with youth. You can't have, just the interactions aren't as in depth, and you know, they don't have as much fun, which is, that's not what youth group is about, but the fun builds that chemistry. So how God is messing with me is he's gonna work through this. You know, it's not like a thing that popped up that God's like, whoa, I didn't know COVID was happening. Ooh. You know, God knew this was happening, and he works all things to his good. Right now, I might not be feeling it, but I know he's working it.
Yeah. I'll just say God's throwing all kinds of ideas in my head to try to make things better for the children.
Look at that, a smile.
I know. Yay,
thanks for bringing a bright spot today.
Well, I've got, Lacey, there are some plans in the work. I went and talked to the other fearless leader, and we have Fun Fridays coming in December. Yes. So that'll be fantastic. And Miss Amy and I have some surprises coming that will be appearing around the school. Ooh. Yeah. So I don't know. He's given me these hands to do things with, and I'm all about leading with my heart and working with my hands. So there will be some fun things for the kids, because if we as parents and adults are feeling just zapped, you know, like you get up in the morning and it's just like, oh, I don't want to do this again. Yeah, I know. I'm all about that. But anyhow, I just figured, you know what? They're feeling it too. They don't want to be doing this. They don't want to be sanitizing their hands, putting their masks up over their nose. So I'm like, if I can bring a little joy to their lives, I'm going to. So that's what I'm doing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And on those lines, say, thank you to your teachers. Say thank you to your healthcare workers. Say thank you to the grocery store checkout person. Mm-hmm. There are people, I mean, yes, our students are kind of done with a lot of this, but we just had a school council meeting last night, and just the conversation was, yeah, our teachers are tired. Like one of our teachers talked about, she really underestimated how much work it is to be in a mask, to teach in a mask, because she has to constantly project much longer and louder than she's used to. She's used to using facial expressions that she can't use right now. And so this is something that next week it will be kind of the focus of our sermon. But what are your gratitude rituals? How are you thanking those? How are you seeing what God has given to you, but also how do you say thanks? So I just encourage you, whatever it is, even like, and I'll just throw this out there, shameless plug, a $5 gift certificate to a coffee place for a teacher or for a healthcare worker that had just run it on fumes might not mean much from your pocketbook, but it will mean tons to that teacher that can fill up on caffeine when the adrenaline's gone. Because that's what, that was a conversation I had this morning with one of our teachers, is the adrenaline is gone. They're used, in the first few months, there was this excitement that, yes, we're back in school. We get to see these kids. This is awesome. That adrenaline has worn out, and now it might be caffeine for the next few weeks to get through, to get to Thanksgiving, and then to get to Christmas and to get some breathers.
And I would say, you know, of course, the caffeine is definitely appreciated, but I think what would mean even more in that gift is just the thought of it, because everyone's frayed right now. No one, you know, we were, when this all started, we were talking about if we can pull through for 3 weeks, things will go back to normal. Well, we're about 6 months past that 3 weeks, and so we're all feeling it. But what our teachers, you know, I can't speak to healthcare workers or things like that, but our teachers, they don't hear, you know, the thank yous. They hear the frayed responses from parents, because I mean, even if we're 90% grateful for something, usually it's the 10% like that we're irritated that comes out of us, and the teachers don't hear the grateful. They don't get to hear that. They hear the areas where people think they're coming short. So just the thought that, or just the idea that you're thinking of them, would go miles to help them.
Paul, we're all looking at you now.
Great. Well, God has been messing with me because we're preparing for tax season to come up. And the more and more that we get closer to it, the more and more we realize that everything is different and everything's the same, and everything is, and we don't know a lot of answers because nobody's telling us what is going to, what, you know, basically with different loans and grants, and especially with the farmers, and nobody knows what's going on. And so we have an idea, you know, theories, but nobody's given us a concrete, like, this is how this is going to look on your tax return. So therefore, when doing estimates for said farmers, we can go, this is definitely the answer. Right now, we're basically going, as of today, this is what it looks like.
Yeah.
And we recommend this based on how it looks today. But, you know, what are we? We're just basically speculating, and it's a lot of brain injury and energy for that.
And injury.
And injury.
Maybe, yeah.
And so, it just basically just, it's very tiring. And then at the same time, it's like, oh, Christmas is coming. Oh, I have to record. Oh, I have to figure out videos. Oh, how am I going to find time for that? And have energy for my family, and have energy for this, and energy for that, and everything. You know, it's just, it's fine. It's fine. It is what it is. And we'll get through it, and we always do. And eventually something will suffer, because I will sit there and go, well, I'm going to have to not, because of my responsibility of my day-to-day job, I'm going to have to sacrifice time for, say, Trinity. And is that okay?
Yes.
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 Well.
Although you did tell me pretty much just suck it up, Buttercup. But,
No, so that was different, because your job is Trinity.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't mean just delete that part.
There you go.
To listeners, Chris Davis, please just delete that part that you just heard.
But
this is the reason we're not live.
We are live. We don't do a lot of editing on this. Yeah. I don't have the time for that. That'd be actually work.
Well, but that's so, Paul. Here's the funny thing. No one other than you will be concerned with the lack of what you put in, because it will still be a fantastic whatever it is. But then you're the one who's your biggest critic.
Well, yes. I'm saying that because I expect a certain level of entertainment. I mean, I know this is weird to say that in front of a church, but I'm looking at it like, okay, we're watching a video. And the last thing, and no offense to any other churches out there who are listening to this, but But if you're standing in front of a camera and just talking, you're not engaging.
And that's, we really focus a lot at Trinity on how can we engage. And that's actually, guess what? This Sunday, if we are, well, even if we're not virtual, you'll get to spend time in your homes with those around you and your family having conversations in the middle of the sermon. I'm not going to talk the whole time. I'm going to make you guys talk with each other.
No.
And engage with each other.
You mean the people that I live with?
Yep.
I don't engage with them on a normal basis or whatnot.
But now you have this time carved out. Now so you have do to. It. I'm just Pastor joking. Says so.
I'm just I'm joking, kind of.
Yeah.
No. No. Anyways, that's how God's messing with me. And it's very, Lori and I are both, because we both work in the same place and we both feel like this responsibility on our shoulder to make sure that we basically support everything that happens with everybody else in the office.
Yeah.
And the problem is, since we're both there and it's like, well, we need somebody here at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock in the morning to answer phones. It's just like, how are we supposed to do this and get our kids ready for school? And also like, oh, I like to work out in the morning. Well, I guess maybe I won't be able to do that. And I'll have to get up at 6 and drive up to the stupid office so I can sit there with my thumb up my butt. And I'm sorry for people who to find the offense of that, but I don't know. I'm getting down a dark.
Get trail. Out of the hevel. Get out of the hevel. So how does this then transition for you in your mind with how Pastor Hoyer was leading us this week?
All right. So for a setup for this, we had a very in-depth conversation on say via text, not in-depth. It was more like, hey, what did you guys get out of the sermon? And everybody's like, And so then Pastor Gerber was like, here's the sermon again. Listen to it.
Yeah.
And so I focused on the very ending of the sermon when he was talking about the four takeaways. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote down a bunch of notes, and I guess if I'm going to just take control of the format of this podcast right now, and we're going to go through each one of these because there's a lot to unpack on each thing. That sound like a plan? The first thing, number one, everyone is looking for something spiritual. So my thoughts on that, and this is going to be a lot, so hold on, is when he says something spiritual, is that something like self-help books? Are they looking for, are they going into a bookstore going, one of these books is going to solve my problems if I only read it, and I have to read the right one, but I just haven't found the right one yet, so I'm going to keep on searching for the right book. Is that what he's talking about? Question number one. Question number two is, so basically he's talking about finding something satisfying in the world that will, because we're basically looking for peace. We're finding something, try to find something in the world that will give us that peace. That's what I got from that. So then the question, of course, I follow my rabbit trail here. I'm sorry, everybody listening to this. If you listen to this at 2x the speed, I suggest you slow down for a second. Okay, so then that brought me to like, oh, is he talking about superstition and magic? And what's the difference between superstition and magic versus, say, faith and miracles? And is that different? Do we only think that way to make us feel more spiritually superior than somebody else? Because those religions over there think about magic and spirit and superstition, where we as Christians think of faith and miracles. Does that make sense? And then I was like, oh, so what's the difference between the two? And then I went down the rabbit trail and said, oh, well, I know that the Catholics really like the crucifix and look at these special spiritual, like, what do you call it?
Icons.
Icon or relics, spiritual relics. And they go, look how special these things are. Is that something in there? And then I'm like, oh, well, what is superstition? Is that, so then I went down this rabbit trail. I'm sorry, guys. Just follow my thoughts. And I was like, what's spiritual? And I was like, well, spiritual is to me is something to use God for something. So basically I'm thinking is like, if I pull the right lever or say the right prayer, God will then answer these things. And, you know, maybe it'll make us healthy or make me wealthy or make me feel good because I pulled the right lever, the right rope or whatever. I'm thinking of Wizard of Oz. We put the right rope and suddenly the thing opens up and there's a person behind the curtain. Don't just ignore the person behind the curtain. And so, you know, are we doing those things because we want to impress others? Look how spiritual I am because I do these right things with the right levers. And then also too, is that it's like, oh, I'm just trying to guarantee a seat in heaven. So I'm going to do these things. And then I was like, okay, well, that's spiritual. If that is superstition, say, then what's faith then? Faith is God using us, right? And allowing, you know, letting God use us in such a way, correct? Now Gerber's like sitting there going, oh my God, what is he going?
There are so many of the questions that you've posed that I'm just getting ready. And you're like, no, we're not actually answering the questions. This is just my brain.
I'm asking these questions out because once I finish talking, I'm going to point at you guys and you guys are going to clarify my rabbit trail.
Hey,
and this is all because, and I know Pastor Dan listens to this. So thanks a lot for making making me think about all these things, because to be honest with you, I was like, wow, this is really, because I started looking at us as a culture going, oh, are we really spiritual, or we just think of it as superstition and we want to pull this lever and rope to make sure that, oh, I hope we're healthy, and we if we pray enough prayers, and then maybe I haven't prayed enough prayers the right way, because that is not the way that, because apparently this not getting answered. I don't know. I mean, I'm just the, so.
I just want to say thank you, because this is what my brain is like all day long. Just your little.
If you can see a piece of paper, you can see
that
my
is
thoughts.
My brain. That's what my brain does. And that's what my brain questions too. I'm like, well, if I did it this way, is it this? Or if I do it this way, is it that? I'm like, am I praying the right way? Am I not praying hard enough? Am I not seeing the signs? Am I ignoring the signs? This is what my brain is like.
I saw the sign. Exactly. Opened up my eyes. I saw the sign.
So I just want to say thank you for taking roles. So I feel like I'm more Paul today because I'm pretty calm. And Paul is more Lacey because he's got a brain over there on a piece of paper that's going six ways to Sunday. And yeah, that's so. Yeah, I kind of agree, because I'm like, oh, okay, what's the difference between being spiritual? What's the difference between being faithful? What is the difference? Yeah.
Yeah. When I came
miracles and magic. And
let me wrap it all up into my thoughts. So therefore you can get a full where I concluded. I concluded to the fact that in order to find spirituality, you got to find it in the Father. And that it basically comes down to us being servants. The end.
As we all bobble our heads back and forth like, yeah.
Sure.
All right. Thoughts.
Anthony, go.
There you go. Got it.
Pastor, done. Do the heavy lifting for us.
So as you're talking, I mean,
it's too much.
As you're, you know,
you
talking
later.
Through all 16 of these things. Oh, Paul's getting a call.
Sorry. I'll mute that.
There you go. Jesus? Was that Jesus calling?
Yeah, he's calling. Jesus, he's like, is calling. You didn't push the right rope, but here's the answers.
So
look in the Bible. There's your answer.
I'm really not sure how to answer all 42 of those questions at once. One of the things, as you guys were talking, the thing that jumped into me was Romans 8. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And so there are times where, like, growing up, there were many times where I'm like, I don't think I prayed right. I grew up in a tradition where you prayed the prayer. The sinner's prayer, and that's that moment that you got faith. And then I sinned again, and I was like, "Oh crap!"
Yeah, the sinner's prayer, is that the right rope?
Yeah, well, right. And that's right where line. I was like, "Did I do it wrong?" And so I prayed that prayer multiple times because I kept thinking that I had done it wrong. If I had only prayed it right, then I'd be a better person. Then this, like, all of a sudden everything would be like, "Oh, I get it now." Honestly, that's what I love about Lutherans, is when I sat with a pastor many weekends, many days, and we talked through this, and there was one time where I walked out of his office, and I'm like, oh, I finally get forgiveness. It's not about me pulling the right strings. It's about what Jesus has done for me. So even when I don't feel it, there's truth to my forgiveness. Because Jesus has died on the cross for me, I am forgiven. And so I'm going to do what I can to live the way that God has called me to live. But I also realize that when I fail, it's not about pulling the right strings to get the best forgiveness. It's Jesus did it all for me on the cross. And so there are no strings for me to pull. Jesus did it.
And I think one of the hardest areas for me, you know, even though my whole life I've been Lutheran, so I've been surrounded by that thought, I think we as humans, it's easy to get stuck in the trap of thinking the way humans think. One of the hardest areas that sometimes I wrestle with is when God's answer is no to my prayer. Like, is God sending me a message that I didn't live up to what he wants for me? You know, or likewise, if I get some sort of reward, if things go the way I want, if I get a nice bonus at work over here, does that mean that God is showing me favor? And it's very human-like to think pulling the right levers will get the right reactions. You just got to find the right combo. And for us as humans, it makes sense because our world is a world of consequences, positive or negative to actions. Consequences usually carries something negative, but it literally just means positive or negative outcomes. You know, it's the outcome. You know, if you don't follow expectations at work, after a while, you will get fired. You know, there's grace, but also we have expectations for you. If you play football and throw the ball to the other team a lot, you get benched. Nebraska fans are over the last 10 to 12 years will understand that as a coach, if you don't win a lot, you don't coach at Nebraska any longer. longer. And the hard part for me has been at times wrestling of putting that on God. Like, God, I know you said I'm forgiven, but I keep screwing up and I keep going back to my pet sins that I told you I would try to stop, and I keep doing them. You know, when does that patience really run out? Or when do I throw the ball to the other team that won too many times before I get benched? And at least when it comes to forgiveness and salvation, there are no levers for me to pull. Jesus did all the pulling already, but my mind still struggles with it. Come on, there's got to be something. There's no such thing as a free meal. What is going on here?
And I think that's what my point is, mm-hmm. is that I feel like we as society, not just us individually, is trying to find the lever. What does that lever look like, and how many times can I pull it, and when would that curtain open up and the man behind the curtain will go, "Hi." You know, I guess that's the main thing. But do you have another point for this?
Well, as you're talking about the lever, it makes me think of, there was a study done, and I don't remember, as we're talking, I don't remember where I read this or I saw the study. There's somebody that talked about the study. And I don't remember where this, but it was with mice, and like they train mice that if you hit this button once, that it would get a treat. And then they also, like, if you hit it 10 times, like there was different mice, you would get a treat. The ones that were like, whether it was one time or 10 times, the ones that were consistent, the mice were like, all right, I know what I can do. And that's what I get. But there was another group of mice that it was just a random number. Sometimes it was one button pushing. Sometimes it was 10. Sometimes it was 30. Those mice freaked out.
Went insane.
They went insane. And all they did the entire time was just hit the button over and over and over and over and over, because they wanted to make sure that they could get what they wanted. And I think that's how we sometimes live life, is
like mice
that don't know how many times they need to push the right button before they're going to get what they want. And so
what is right button?
Yeah. What is push.
I need crystal. Prayer. Do I need a prayer candle? Do I need,
if I say the right words in the right order,
right?
Yeah.
Which is what I was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do that for much more than just faith and religion.
Yeah. Like, where does that become superstition?
Yes. There.
Yeah. That's where I was really going.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. So like, I mean, I will just tell you, I haven't done it for the last few years because whatever button I've been pushing hasn't worked.
You're going insane.
But like for Husker football, I have what I wear, and that's what I wear. And now like I have a red jersey and I have a white jersey. And so like, I'm now like, if I wear the red one on home games, because that's what they'll wear at home, and they'll wear the white one on away games because that's what they would wear. But what if
one in the red jersey? So maybe that's
the red jersey is the winning jersey, or like they're all, I mean, we can so go into this superstition mindset, but that is not at all what faith is. Because you know, the song, going back to Even If, that song that we've talked about a number of times, even if I don't get what I think I want, even if this doesn't work out for me, I still know that you're there. I still trust you. And so I'm not going to sit there and push the button as often as I possibly can, because I know that if your answer is no, that's your answer. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to pray. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to fall on my knees for myself or for my family or for others who are in need of prayers. But it means that I'm not going to try and work the system. And if I just do things the right way, then everything will go my way.
Yeah. And then that does lead us into the last three points that Dan talked about. And point number two that he talked about was teaching and being taught.
Yeah.
And so the question, I mean, he basically says that his word is truth. So my question to you is one, because when I looked at these last three, I just want to clarify what I'm trying to get at. The last three were basically like, hey, we're all looking for spirituality. But if we really look at these last three things, we're kind of doing works for God. Does that make sense? I guess we can talk about that more as we go. But in teaching, I guess the main question is there somebody in your life that was very specifically taught you or set you on the journey more than somebody else? And on the flip side of that, do you feel that you're doing a good job teaching the next generation or somebody else? It doesn't have to be next generation, because I guess it could be somebody who's older than you who hasn't found faith yet. So those are the questions I pose, and go.
Well, my parents from the very beginning of my life were they took us to church every week. We went through confirmation, just very careful to make sure that we had that foundation. We did devotion sometimes as a family. Sometimes we would memorize scripture together. I don't remember those being habits that we did all the time, but but just that model of we go to church and this is important. We prayed before bed. I don't remember having a lot of good spiritual conversations together as a family. That may have happened. I don't remember it. But that was a good foundation for me to get started in the right direction. And also they were careful to encourage good friendships and relationships. And kind of, I would guess now that I'm a parent, they kind of probably had some control in who I hung out with and who I didn't. And
the curtains pulled back on that one.
Yes, you can go hang out with them. Oh, no, that's not going to work. And yeah,
we got a thing.
Some influence in that too. But
I would say also, you know, as far as Faith Life parents, definitely. And it's because, and I'm not a parent yet, but as, you know, as someone who's in charge of high school youth group, it's, do I have influence of educating? Absolutely. Do I think I do a great job? I probably do better than I think I do. But what I see in these youth and what is that parents really do have the biggest impact. It's not necessarily having all the right answers of being a theological scholar. It's just every day, what does faith look like? Because I definitely had theology scholars when I went to college to study theology who knew more than my parents, but I wouldn't be there without them. And it wasn't that they knew more than the next guy. It was just that they lived it is the biggest thing. And I think there's so much to be said for being an example, just living it out. You don't have to have, you know, the Greek translation and how that actually.
Yes, you do. You got to have the Greek. Just kidding.
I grew up so wrong.
Yeah.
That was Latin.
Oh, oops. I'll have to find another
one. You're one step ahead.
Where did your parents go wrong?
It's funny, Casey, that you say that, because as I'm sitting here, I'm like, wow, who really has geared me and shown me and told me and all of this? My life is flat out like a Lifetime movie. For those of you that don't know me, there's so much into it. I really am a Lifetime movie. And as I'm sitting here thinking about it, I'm like, okay, when I was little, my parents took me to church or took me to Sunday school. We sometimes went to church. And then it became more of a on Easter, Christmas type of a deal. And I did go through confirmation. My brother and sister went through confirmation. But I don't know what happened to my folks. I go back to here, preface. My birth mom passed away when I was 3 weeks old. And I think my dad never forgave that, you know, to lose a wife and come home with a baby. So I think his faith has faltered. I know that my dad believes in heaven and hell, and my dad is a good man. I know my dad prays silently to himself. I know my parents, as far as I'm aware, growing up, we really didn't talk about religion. We would talk about heaven and hell, please and thank you, right and wrong. So I would have to say it was more my grandma. I could sit down and have conversations with my grandma and my granny, and I appreciate that. And I asked my folks growing up, I was just like, I want to go to Sunday school. I want to go to church because my cousins were there. I went to a small country church, so my cousins were there, and I wanted to see them, and I liked that fellowship with them because I was craving that. I needed that. And then I graduated, went to college and worked, and church wasn't a priority because it was not a priority as to what I am making a priority to my children nowadays. Or nowadays, that sounds bad, but you know, now. And sometimes it's super hard for me because I want to have these conversations with my folks and just be like, hey, where do you see yourself? Why did this happen? But I'm afraid of the answer, you know? So yeah, I'm going to say my grandparents and my husband. My husband, his whole family is very faith-oriented. And at first, it was very intimidating. Very, very intimidating. But I can sit down and have conversations with my mother-in-law, and it's completely fine. There are a couple topics we stay away from because we both have two different aspects of that. But yeah, and I've just kind of changed who I hang out with and what we do. So there you go. But sometimes it makes me feel inadequate, like I didn't have enough, you know?
Like, and so you're not alone in that. I've talked to lots of, and whether it's they blame their parents because of a lack of faith or a lack of faith habits, or it's just, I wish it would have been different sort of conversations. You're not alone in that. I don't know if that always helps. It's nice to know that you're not alone. But one of the things that, and this is what I see in you and in your family, one of the things that I talk to families about is there are people who turn the ship and put in a lot of hard work to make their kids' lives easier. So like the families that I'm working with in confirmation, a lot of them are like, I don't know what to do. I've never had a conversation about faith with my parents. So me having a conversation with my kids about faith is awkward. And so for many of them, it's a lot of hard work because they just haven't had that modeled. But now for your children, when they have children, it won't be easy. Faith is not easy, but they won't have to navigate the question of what does it look like to have a conversation about faith, because they've grown up, because you've put in the hard work. Jeff has put in the hard work to say, this is important to us. These are the conversations that we're going to have in our family because faith is important to us. Now, when Peyton and Hudson have kids and it's going to be, this is just what we do. Mm-hmm. This is what we know there's no more important work. Thanks for sharing you.
You're welcome.
And pulling down the veil a little bit, or pulling back the veil, or however that phrase would work. But
pulling back the curtain.
There he does. Oh, yeah. We pulled the strings. So yes. The curtain opened.
I was just thinking hiding behind your shield. Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
Captain America will definitely protect you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, and I think we as people, we highlight the things that we like about our life, and we hide the things that we don't. And also, we adjust to our social circles. And church is far and away, first and foremost, a place to praise God. But there is a social aspect to it. And one of the easiest ways to fit in a social circle is to find the things we have alike that we're proud about. And there are, thanks be to God, there are many great Christian parents out there who do have those faith conversations. And it's a big reason why, why we have this influence today in many churches. But I believe there are so many more people who wrestle with your kind of story, Lacey, that don't get talked about because it doesn't fit. And it's like you said, it's an inadequate, it's a feeling. Yeah,
you feel embarrassed.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't your normal, I guess. So you kind of feel embarrassed by it. And don't anybody get me wrong. I love my parents. I would do anything for them. They are my parents. They raised me and taught me to be the person that I am today. But sometimes I'm like, wow, I kind of wish, what if things were done this way? Or what if things were done? And you can what if everything. And yep. I'm an overthinker. Let's just be realistic about that. But it's not going to change who I am and what I want my kids to be and what I want, what is our faith.
And Casey, as you were talking a little bit, it reminded me of the marquee at my vicarage church, which is like student preaching. In the middle of seminary, you get sent somewhere in the country. And there's one that just stuck out with me. And we change our marquee in front of our church often or not often, depending on the season. And I often wonder what's the point? But then I think back to this one time and the guy that changed it, he put, the church, it should be a hospital for sinners, not a museum for saints. But so often it feels like we need to, when we walk in the building, we need to push aside everything that we're struggling with because we need to put on this brave face and put on this air of everything's perfect rather than coming to the foot of the cross broken and saying, Lord, I need you, and having the body of Christ surround you and say, let's lift you up, rather than, well, you can't say that here. You're going to offend Jesus if you talk about that.
Yeah, because he doesn't hear your thoughts already.
Yeah.
He didn't see it live.
But what if,
What we were talking about earlier with a spirituality, and I think this is where I am hesitant with that word, that the spirituality seems to like, we have to be perfect. This is bettering me so that I am more worthy or whatever. And maybe that's not really what it means. Maybe that's just how my brain has taken that word. But spirituality, the goal of spirituality seems to me to make myself better. Whereas faith in God and trusting him realizes that God has already done everything. He has, through Jesus, made me perfect. So it's that recognition of, I don't need to be perfect to come into this church in my own right, because Christ has already done the work for me. And when we recognize that difference, where this is who I am, this is what my history is, and regardless of that, Jesus still died for me, I think that's more life-giving than I have to fix all this stuff before I'm worthy of coming in here. Mm-hmm. And what message are we sending to people as the church? Is that in line with what the Bible says?
Which is what I was bringing up with.
Right.
Because when I started looking at that, I was like, superstition,
mm-hmm.
and all that. And to go back to the last two points that Dan, I'm going to tie this back into what we're talking about. The last two points that Dan brought up was fellowship with each other. And he used the husband and wife as an example of that, the fellowship. But we always talk about the fellowship that we're missing within the COVID years. But then when you start talking about your story, the fellowship that you're missing, even though you might have a relationship with your father, the fellowship you might have with your father because he's angry. I mean, that impacted your life.
Yeah.
And so fellowship does make a difference when you have, even within your family circles, but also in the congregation and in the community and all that stuff, and your husband and wife and kids and all that stuff. But I don't just throw that aside.
Yeah.
But I think when we think fellowship, we're like, oh, we mean congregation. But I think the fellowship that you just pointed out, that the fellowship that you were missing with your father on that because you can't talk to him about it, is actually a big deal.
Mm-hmm. And I think the word fellowship, it's a great word, but I think Black Bear Term, the church has kind of hijacked that to where it's only used in church. So it,
coffee and donuts.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. And so like, you don't hear that word outside of church circles a lot.
No.
And I like to a lot of times replace that with relationship. Like we, you know, God has fellowship with us. God has relationship with us. You know, we have relationship with each other in the church. And I think that's one of the difficult things, is putting a church word to this awesome thing of, you know, we get to connect with each other.
Yeah. And there's still ways to have relationships with others. Even, I mean, that's, you know, I talked about missing out on Thanksgiving and the struggle with that. But then Stacy's parents are like, well, let's do, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, we'll all get on FaceTime and we're going to do virtual wine tasting with each other, where each family kind of makes their own, food, provides a wine, and we disperse it. And that's different. It's not, I would much rather do that in the same building, but we can still have a lot of fun and we can still connect. And we're going to find ways that we can do that with my family too around Thanksgiving. But it's just these things aren't the way they used to be. And we can mourn that. And it's okay to mourn that. But to sit and focus on that is where we start to slide, as instead of saying, well, look at all these other great opportunities that God has given to us for fellowship, for relationships with others in different ways.
Yeah. Yeah. The last point that Dan pointed into his sermon was mission and purpose.
Yeah.
God gives us that. And we've talked about this subject before on this podcast. But I guess the question I have is, the main thing that I always come back to when I think of mission and purpose is being a servant, mm-hmm. to wash somebody's feet every day kind of mentality. So of course, letting God give us that purpose, and not, as Stacy was kind of pointing out with spirituality, is not about what we want. It's about what he wants for us and what he wants for us to do, right? And so what does that look like in your life? And are we supposed to be a servant to the point that we really don't like this life? We don't like our life because we're searching to get home.
I think it's a perspective on it, because even in his time on this earth, there are times Jesus is noted as having joy, you know, and so Jesus didn't make himself 100% miserable on this planet.
I'm not trying to say miserable. I'm trying to say, because even with Jesus, he was saying, oh, I don't really want to do this, but I'm going to have to, because this is the purpose that God gave us. So mm-hmm. when I mean like not supposed to hate this life, I'm trying to say is like, this is not our final destination or our home. Are we not supposed to find that? All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, but I think it's all about exactly like you said, it's a perspective thing. It's, you know, a couple weeks ago, we dove deep into the question, you know, what if the worst happens to you? You know, is it, and I think it's all about understanding your end. It's understanding the end goal. It's Like, you know, why do we have hope? It's because we know there's something beyond this.
So I think the question is, what is the goal of our faith? And I'm going to push back. The goal of my faith is not to leave this earth and go spend eternity in heaven. The goal of my faith is that others would see Jesus and that they would get to spend eternity with him. Because this is, God created us as physical and spiritual beings. The goal is that we would not leave, it is not that we would leave this physical place to have some spiritual being for eternity. When Jesus returns, he is going to destroy the broken earth and create a new perfect earth for us to live on, both physically and spiritually. So yes, this world's broken, but this is the world that God has created for us to live in. And eventually he will make it perfect. But our goal is not to leave the place.
That's not what I'm trying to say.
I'm just making,
I guess what I'm trying to say is when I'm saying hate our life, I'm basically trying to say, are we living for ourselves or are we living for God? That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And if you look at it at that point of view, it's like, it's the same thing you do with your kids. It's like you make sacrifices for your kids because it's what you do. Right. And so is your purpose in life to pursue your wildest dreams versus am I pursuing what God has planned for me?
Right. And the reason I think I push back against that a little bit is I think they can be the same thing. I think
if your focus is
yes, because even, you know, you talk about Jesus not wanting to go to the cross, but doing it because that was God's plan. In Hebrews 12, the writer talks about that being the joy of Jesus, that he endured the cross. It was his joy to do that. I hate my life. It is a, and I know that's not exactly what you're saying, but it was joyful for him to hang on the cross because of you, because you are his joy. And I think that can be the same thing for our purpose. And that's, you know, as you guys were talking about this, there's a book and a Bible study called Joining Jesus on His Mission. And it is fantastic. And that's actually where I get the question, how is God messing with you? That's one of the five questions that they encourage you to continue to ask with each other. How is God messing with you? What is he putting in front of you? What do you have to go do to help others? But you know, what are those, how has God made you? What joys and passions has he given you that then can be used to help others? I mean, Lacey brought it up earlier. Like, she has been put in a position where she can do things for others to bring them joy. That is God's plan. That is God's. So I don't think we should seek to get to the point where we're miserable because all we're doing is helping others. But I think we should seek to get to the point where we're so filled with joy because all we're doing is helping others.
Yeah. I just want to clarify, because I know the listeners are like, Paul, you're an idiot. But whatever it comes down to, I'm not.
You're not talking about hating like I'm miserable. You're talking about it's not about my life.
Basically, I'm going to try to clarify this is that instead of pursuing the world, you're supposed to reject that.
Yes.
Therefore, hate that part of you. That's what I'm basically trying to say. Yes. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
John 12, whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life.
That's what I'm trying to
there
say.
There it is. Yes, do that, Paul.
Well, that's why I kept on. That's why the question I was asking is, are we supposed to hate our life
in that sense? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's what I was.
There you go. All of you who just listened to all that, take it all away and say, are we supposed to hate our lives in the way Jesus tells us to hate our lives? Yes. There you go.
Well, I just feel like there's a lot of people who pursue happiness, but their happiness is in a worldly view. This is what will make me happy.
Right. Absolutely.
It's the mice and the buttons.
Yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
Give me food.
Oh, those buttons.
I was thinking like a
button on a shirt.
That's
like
what I was too. I'm like
a
Casey,
blind mouse that's trying to put buttons
it was
on.
Your example.
Yes. Sorry. Sometimes I'll pay attention to myself.
Paul,
next
did you
time.
Know what Casey was talking about?
I did, because we just talked about
Anthony,
it.
Anthony, it was just us, because I was thinking the same. I'm like, mice and the buttons?
All right,
I'm like,
next,
what are you talking about?
Next time I'll listen to myself talk.
Holy buttons.
Forgiveness.
There it is. Hit the button. There we go.
Yeah, it's seeking after God's will rather than
finding joy in that.
Yeah, and this is where I was going to go before I couldn't remember what buttons we were talking about. I'm just going to be honest. I think American Christianity misses that point often. Mm-hmm. And Paul, you've been bringing that up a lot. Like, our society goes after goes after all of these things. And I think is there are so many times where we just like, well, if I'm a Christian, then God will love me more and then I'll get more money and then I'll get my mansion and my yacht and then life will be good. That's
I'll
not
look really good in front of other people.
Yeah. Time. Like, and it's all about, it often becomes about morality. Like, and it's good to talk about how Jesus calls us to live, but not out of trying to make myself look better in the world. It's so that I can love my neighbor, so that then when they ask me, why do you have this joy? Because all you're doing is spending your time loving others. I can tell them about the hope that I have in Jesus. Not about, oh, if I scratch their back, they're going to scratch my back and then things will be good.
And I'm guaranteed a seat in heaven.
Yeah.
Well, and
new creation.
And on top of that, we serving God doesn't have to mean, you know, going outside of what you like where your passions are. Because too often it's very easy to say, to think serving God means working in the church. Well, if every Christian worked in the church, there, you know, there'd
there'd
nothing,
be no Christian shoemakers.
Yeah, there'd be no one. There'd be like, if we accomplished what Jesus has set out for us and tried to have the whole world love him, there'd be no one doing anything, you know, if that truly happened.
Which is the reason why I always bring up the point that the pastor's there, but he's not there to do everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that's why.
Fix my car.
Yeah. You know, Paul, the reason I push back kind of hard against this, should I hate my life, is I think there are people who think to serve God means to be miserable. Like, I think there are people who truly believe
go
that.
Go be a monk somewhere.
Go be a monk. Go
take your vow of silence.
I can't do that.
That's me.
Yeah.
There's
a good majority of people that think if I'm enjoying this, it can't be of God. Like and that is so wrong. God is so filled with joy. God wants you to be filled with joy. I'm not going to say God wants you to be happy, because you're going to probably twist those words at some point, and that means I can do whatever I want. But God wants you to be filled with joy, but his joy, again, in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, his joy is your salvation. And so God wants us to be filled with joy, because through us, others are finding Jesus and that salvation that they have in him.
Our daughter Samantha has a song she learned at our Bible study. What is the purpose of my life? The purpose of my life is to know God, trust him, enjoy him, and glorify him. And that enjoy him is one that when she first was singing, I'm like, I've never really considered that as the purpose of my life. Serve him and glorify him, yes, and love him, but enjoy him. And that's that. If I'm living my life to serve him in misery, we're missing that, because we can enjoy him, and that's where our joy comes from.
Yeah, and I want to call out Lacey, because Lacey has made comments about how she comes to this podcast and she's like, I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah, there are times where Lacey feels bad about being here, because she's like, but I like it. I shouldn't be here because I like it. But
I miss the children.
But it is the exact same comedy. Because you're doing this work, because your job basically said, hey, you're going to do a podcast, but you like it and enjoy it, that means that you feel guilty about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't.
Well, I'm just saying that is essentially what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I actually enjoy working for God, or having his working for him.
Sorry, I guess I got to go find something else to do.
I got
to
be miserable. I got to go on a mountain and be a monk.
Stacey, that wouldn't, I don't think that would make you all that miserable at times.
I like that idea right now.
Well, you know what's funny is that I think Pastor Griffin said that to me. That's the reason I use that example, because she's like, well, you're not a monk. And I'm like, thank God. Yeah. Anyways, those are the 4 points. And just to clarify, everybody, what we talked about for the last 2 hours is...
if you speed it up, it's only an hour.
Yeah, everyone's looking for something spiritual. We're teaching, we're going, and we fellowship with each other, and we get, and God gave us a mission and purpose for him. So those are the 4 things that Pastor Dan talked about. And I had my notes, and I said all my piece, and now we can pray.
Dear Jesus, thank you for the joy that you have in us, that you endured the cross, despising the shame, and now are seated at the right hand of God. And thank you that you have called us to live in that same joy as we serve you with joy, with happiness, by telling others about you, by seeking your will in our lives, so that others might not know us, but that they might know you. Help us to live in that. Help us to live out that joy that you have given to us, and help us to love you with all that we do. We pray this all in your name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782, or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate. We'll be right back.